Hello, friends, and thank you for joining me for another episode here in the She Shed. Today, I'm joined by my friend Tamika. We've known one another since 1996. We met at the University of West Georgia, and she is one of my favorite people in the world. She's also the mother of my godson, and she is a teacher, and she is joining us to share her COVID-19 experiences thus far. So grab yourself something to drink. I hope you're hydrating. I am, even though I'm a little bit behind, and let's have some fun.
Absolutely, ma'am. We're going to start early. We got to make sure we start strong.
I'm getting up so early these days. The last 90 days of last year, I started this challenge where I'd get more earlier and I'd spend that hour on me. And it really changed my day, actually, because I used to be, well, you know, you remember like in college, I would sleep until the very last minute. Like, when do I have to be there? And how much time do I have to sleep before? But no, seriously, I started getting up an hour earlier and like living my life during that hour is like, you know, I sat down, I was like, what do I imagine that my life would be like in my ideal world? I was like, I'd like to get up in the morning and meditate. I'm like, sure, yeah. Get up and meditate and do yoga. Girl, I started going on bike rides in the moonlight.
Which is fabulous and has always been my life. So welcome to my life. It's like, get up before everyone else gets up, so that way you can do you, and you can make two brain waves connect the way God intended them to.
Yes,
without being pulled on in 50 different directions.
Jesus, have mercy. My child yesterday, was it yesterday? No, it was the day before. It's like she got up. She got up that morning with an agenda for me that only she knew, and she wasn't going to tell anybody, but she was going to make sure it happened. I was like, wait, hold on now. Like, mother, you need to come in here. And I like the getting up early and being by. So it was lovely. And so that's what I did this morning. Here we are again.
I love it. And I like setting my intentions for the day. It's like, it's great what everyone else has for me, but what do I have for?
Yes.
So I have like a lot of random sticky notes, like from the previous day, potentially of like what I'm going to accomplish on the next day. Uh-huh. And pretty much before I go to sleep, I can basically check off at least two or three things that the intentions that I had for that day.
Nice.
Yes. Set your intentions for the day, because everyone will have you in 1,000 different directions. And you're like, but I wanted to do X, Y, and Z. And I had to do.
If you don't, I mean, seriously, your day will go on without you. And that's one of the things that I've really struggled with is prioritizing. Because I get sidetracked so easily. I'm like, I can't even remember what I was doing this morning. I was like, I'm going to make breakfast and I'm going to make this list. And oh, that's what it was. I've got all these nutcrackers I'm selling on eBay.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Send me there so I can go buy something.
Oh, I'm just going to send you to my eBay listings, because I'm having a good time, like, just listing them. Like, I listed some Christmas plates. I was like, these plates were purchased by my mother's fourth husband for his second wife.
And everything must go.
I recall eating off of these plates on 1980 in 1982. Who would have thought I'd be hawking them on something called the internet back then? But here I
have that. I must have that link today. I must go there and peruse around on your eBay. Absolutely, ma'am. I will not leave empty-handed. I will put something in the cart.
Oh my God, I'm having the time of my life. And then I pack all the stuff up and I put like little postcards and notes in with the stuff. I'm like, these people, if they wanted an impulse buy and something interesting, By God, you're getting it.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it with Kim. I guarantee you. That's why I am going to make a purchase.
That is so funny. I'm going to make
someone's day.
Seriously. Seriously. Those plates, and the story comes along with it. So you have to be able to tell the story when you get those plates. But seriously, so I was supposed to be like making breakfast, and here I am looking at this nutcracker going, hold on, but wait a minute. I need to make sure. And I'm like, wait, what was I supposed to be doing?
Girl. Well, that has always led you to a very adventurous life. And I like to, you know, hold on to your kite as you fly, because it's always been really fun. Like, where are we going now? What now are we doing? Okay.
We are out exploring new birds. That was so funny. I found the turkey vultures. I was like, yeah. No, listen, hold on. I have to stop here because there are a lot of birds and they're huge. I got to see what they are. You're like, be careful.
I knew it was going to happen. So the only I could only preface with, okay, be safe out there.
Yes. Be careful. Be careful. So, you know, it's been actually, COVID has given me an opportunity to slow down and get back to myself. You know, I think I was so bogged down in like you said, just not having my intention set for myself and living everybody else's expectations of me, that I wasn't able to do me. So I'm getting back to that, which is real nice.
That's right. Reclaim it. In fact, you know, that's the way we're going to stay healthy. That's the way we're going to stay safe and sane.
Yeah.
So reclaim that time. Reclaiming my time.
All of my time. Speaking.
My time.
Speaking of which, I mean, really, COVID has been helpful with that, because, you know, spring break, I wasn't planning. Well, none of us were. I mean, you could have given us 1,000 guesses, and none of us would have said, "Okay, the world's going to shut down." Like, right. The person, you know, we have those conversations, and then the person at the party who goes, "All right, the world's going to shut down. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade." We go, "Oh, okay."
Right. You're like, "Can you get out of here with your negative Nelly self? We don't need your negative." But, you know, that person was right. They have been warning us for at least 35 years that it's going to get ugly one day.
Oh my God. Oh my, I was talking to my friend William the other day, and he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, our parents warned us against hard times.
Yeah.
You got to pinch back for hard times. And my dad is still, he's like, hey, just so you know, he's like, it is end of November going into December. He's like, these COVID numbers are raging. Everybody's going and traveling. And he's like, it's going to come back and it's going to get worse. He's like, I want you to know. So here's the wisdom from my father. Everybody needs non-potable water. You need some water.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you.
You need about 10 gallons of water. Not, you know, that you're not going to use it for cooking. You're going to use it to flush the toilet and things like that. Like, man, he bought me, I don't even know where he found them. They were 20 gallon drums, and you could screw the top off and like pour water out. He was like, when the pipes burst, you'll need this. And, you know, living further north, when it got, you know, cold in the wintertime, we did. But man, I need that more here, and I didn't bring it, and I can't find them anymore. Hurricane season, I was like, when we moved, I was like, thank God we are not going to have to deal with ice anymore. Da, 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 da. Got down here, hurricane season's much worse when you start thinking about not having water, fresh water, because, you know, the sewage gets mixed up with everything else, so you don't want to drink the water at all. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so it's it's one of those things that, but it sounds so much worse than it is when you're down here in it. It's crazy.
Well, wouldn't you know, Dad saves the day. He's been trying to save us for a lot of years now.
A lot of
girls,
years.
It can't be all fun and games. You gotta be prepared. Like,
oh, he's still telling us. He's like, make sure when you go to the store, you get extra of your non-perishable items. I'm like, yes, yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah,
yes, the mom, sure. And he's right, because I remember I was like, ha ha ha, he's talking so much stuff, and then when COVID got real, not like at the beginning, but when COVID got real and you walked into the store and there was just like no hand sanitizer, there were no paper towels, there was no toilet paper. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on now. So
seriously. And you know, there's always little tidbits from Mother Harrison over there. You know, make sure you have, like you said, got some perishable items, ones you don't need a can opener to open. You can just pop it open.
Yep.
You know, you got a hot plate, something that you can just, I'm like, oh, wow. Well, maybe I don't, but now I will. Now I will be thinking. you should always have extras. You should always have extras. So, you know, if times got really, really tough, I would just like walk to her house and shop over there. Because I know it's in here somewhere. I know.
But thankfully, she's still within walking distance. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and that's how I ended up with so much stuff on eBay. Like, seriously, I was saying earlier, my mom, she was one person and she had like three houses worth of stuff when she passed away. I was like, and the offspring was like, what did you do with all Grandma Margaret's stuff? I was like, I gave some to her friends and to family and church members and Goodwill and, you know, on and on. And then we kept this and we sold that and we threw this away. I was like, it's too much.
I still have one of her QVC, I guess it would be inventions. It was kind of like, would be now, I guess, like a new wave oven. Oh, it was all red and it's beautiful. I'm like, I'm never giving this away.
Oh my God. I remember when I was like, if you don't take that thing on away from here.
Man, that thing was futuristic. Like, I would have never been able to purchase that, but wouldn't you know, it's tucked away in her house. Oh, never been used.
No.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you.
And she'd tell you all about it. It seals in the nutrients. You get all of the nutrients and flavors out of that. I'm like, okay, all right.
Oh, preparedness, honey.
That's what it is. So now, you know, how many times has how you've shopped changed since COVID started?
Well, when it first started, I was not leaving the house. So Marcus was doing everything. So Zolan and I were tucked away inside from the time school closed down until about August when school reopened. And so he did all the shopping and it was in, you know, I was trying to like say, okay, you need to go at 5 a.m. You need to be the first one there. You need to be all alone. And well, yeah, his day doesn't really start like that. So it would be like 12:00. He's out the door. And I'm like, this is not ideal.
No.
Time for shopping, but nevertheless, he, you know, has remained safe and we've been eating nicely since March. And so once school started back being open and my bubble has been burst, you know, I go in the building. So I'm basically the one, like, I do the shopping now and I don't think he really shops anymore.
Oh, that was quick. That was the passing of a baton. Here you go.
Right. Since you go out in the world now, you go ahead and do all this shopping that you have in mind for everyone else. You go ahead with that. So I think I basically do the shopping now. And the prices of food is going up. So I try to have a few coupons on deck or friends and family 10% off something because the prices are going up. Like simple trips to like Kroger first thing in the morning and it's like $50.
Yeah,
like, what?
Yeah,
all I got was bacon.
You got enough bacon to feed the men, that's the problem.
Right, I mean they must have protein, like I need bacon.
So we
you know, we do a clock Howard, we shop on the cement floors so that we can get in Costco and get when they have it, paper towels, water in, you know, stocks and stocks of it. And so that's basically it. So I think even today we need to make sure and go there and stock up. And of course, we're already 2 hours behind that trip, but whatever.
Oh yeah, you're gonna end up with the after church crowd. That's not gonna be cute. That's
it's not cute.
It's not. And speaking of not cute, what's it looking like inside the stores? You're in Georgia and I'm in Florida, and let me tell you, first of all, and especially at the beginning of the summer, you know, and all this stuff is coming out about COVID, and they're like, wear a mask. You know, I immediately was like, okay, wear a mask. And they were like, regular mask won't protect you. Get yourself an N95. I was like, well, we can't get that. I'll get the KN95. So we were walking around with the KN95s at like the beginning. Wow. In the middle of Florida, where they don't care. These are the same people who are like, I'll shoot the hurricane. I don't care. I'll wrestle the alligator. You know, you get to the point with these people where they're like, I don't care about anything. These people were laughing in your face in Target. Like they had no chill. They had none of that. They were just like, ha, ha, ha. You look so ridiculous wearing that mask. Ha, 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 yeah. Ha. It's a hoax. So it was ugly down here for a minute. Like, at the very beginning, you know, and then it got better when the city of St. Augustine said, okay, you have to wear a mask. Yeah. You have to. And things started to shut down, and people, I still think people don't understand how serious this disease is, because we, as Americans, especially if it's not The Walking Dead, it's not any sort of actual outbreak.
You know, right.
I can't see the sick people walking toward me in Target. If, you know, we're not dragging the wagons of the dead through the streets for people to see, then it's not happening. So
how close of a reality do you need for it to be before you take your blinders off? And it's just like, well, the thing for me is that we have family members that were living the New York crisis, and they let us know from the Jump Street, oh, it's real. Like, do not play any games. This is real, because they were hit first and hit so hard. And everyone knew someone that knew someone that knew someone that was no longer there.
Wow.
And so when they're calling, and they were panicked, anxious, in complete disbelief. So when they're calling down to Georgia saying, like, guys, it is so real. Like, my neighbor is no longer my neighbor. And yep, my job is closed down. And the schools are shut down. And we're like, what? And yep, then it kind of trickled down to Georgia. And then, like, I even had a family member that, like, they did not have masks. I mean, when things first started getting crazy, because the shelves were empty, like, it finally happened in Georgia, but it was happening already. It already happened in New York. Wow. And so they were kind of like preparing us. And so I had a cousin that sent me a picture. She's like, this is how I go to the mailbox. And she sent me a picture, and it has a mask, gloves, shield. And I'm like, what?
How?
And that was before we knew that it was completely airborne. We didn't know that, like, you know, if you touched, like, the mail and stuff like that, you could or could not get it. But this was their everyday life. And so they let us know up front, this is not a joke. I don't know when it's coming to Georgia, but it's already here. And, like, they were showing us freezers outside of their apartment buildings where they were holding the dead, and the ice skating rink where the dead were being stored. So it was real to us, so we stayed in.
Yeah.
Based on their accounts and the fact
that they don't cow. Lie. Holy, you know, like, nobody had any sort of, like, in this area, nobody. And it's strange, though, because the town that I work in, it's like another borough of New York. It was actually founded by a New York company, and so everybody in that town is from New York, and it's the weirdest thing. People were either really, really panicked about it, or like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not worried about that. I'm not staying home just because of some virus. Mm-hmm. And there was very little in between.
Right.
And so we do have people like swinging on the pendulum like that. And I mean, you still find it now. And of course, you saw what happened in Georgia, like the governor sued the mayor of Atlanta.
So wait, no. Back up. Tell me what happened.
Yeah. So the governor sued the mayor of Atlanta, Lakeisha Lance Bottoms, because she was putting out a mandate for the city of Atlanta that masks must be worn. Well, the governor, it was not mandatory in the state. So he was opposing her, her mandate, saying that that is not Georgia's mandate. You can't make the people in Atlanta wear a mask. And yeah, so there was like a really big come to Jesus. Like everyone had to come to court.
Wait, how long ago was this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was about 2-3 months ago. And so every judge kept like recusing themselves, like, yeah, I can't be a part of this case. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. And so they had a mediation that worked. And so masks are not mandated in Georgia. And so what has come of that is that it's just highly encouraged and best practice. So shout out to Lakeisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor of Atlanta. She took one for the team, and I'm sure it has saved several lives. And it's not mandated still in Georgia, but it is best practice. And you see more people doing it now than ever before. So that's good.
That is good. But I think people get to the idea that these are my personal rights, and how dare you infringe upon my personal rights. And I'm just wondering, and I know, but you know, I was gonna say, I'm wondering what it's going to take for people to get beyond themselves, but some people never do. So, you know, where are you then?
I mean,
where are you then?
Right. And so it's just like, so I've just kind of had this thought process, like, it's self-preservation. So I got to save myself, me and mine.
Yes, ma'am.
And as for me and my house, you will wear that mask. You will sanitize those hands. You will stay home as a digital learner, because you're not going into the school. No. And that's just where we are. So if no one else does it, we're going to do it, because I think it's the right thing to do. And, and that's what is going to happen. If we're around people and they don't feel like that's for them, then we exit stage left or exit stage right. Thanks for nothing. But if you think that we're going to have playtime and your kid is not going to stay 6 feet from my kid, we're going inside. Have a great one. We'll get you on Zoom. And that is the reality. Because I can't save everybody, but there are at least 4 souls on board my address. I feel I got to do what's right for them. And so that's what we do.
Oh, word. I mean, seriously, I this whole thing, I was like, I will have a circle of trust with these moms, and we have all come to an agreement, right? Does everyone agree? Everyone agrees. And I thought people were in my circle of damn trust, and I look around and I saw you out with no mask on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I trusted you. Okay. So, all right. So,
send me a Zoom link, because Zoom play dates are real.
They've got to be at this point, because I am seriously, like, how are you guys handling, like, the schoolwork aside? I mean, we're all teachers, and we all realize when somebody's giving us actual work to do, fluff work to do, and when we have to wrestle our children to the ground to make them do their work. So, I mean, I get that, but the socialization piece, like, seriously, because how old is your child? Your child has to be, what, 10?
9. Just turned 9 in October.
That's right. Younger than mine. Okay. So, so they're both 9 right now. Sure. And how are you handling the socialization or the lack thereof seriously and keeping them entertained.
And so with our little guy, he is and was and forever will be very sociable. And so, but the thing about digital learning, I guess, and once they got sent home, it was that was a way to like restart. And then to realize, like, yes, I am social and I enjoy school, this, that, and the third. But really, what did you really enjoy about school? The social aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was like, yep, recess, I got to be free. Lunch, I got to be free. But the rest of the time, really, you're just in close proximity to your friends, or you might be in a little group with your friends, but really what you're working on is academically based. You're not just having a full-on conversation about Roblox and all this and that and the other and just hanging out with them. So now to combat that, right, is just that we socialize in other ways. So we still, you know, have a few friends that are in a bubble that are on our street. Mm-hmm. And they ride bikes from a distance with each other. They play badminton.
Right. I thought you would love that.
and as the parents, we wipe those, you know, little kids down.
You're on your side of the net.
Right.
And you're on yours.
You're totally right. 6 feet away. They have walkie-talkies, so I bought him walkie-talkies. So his good friend that lives across the street from us, you can walkie-talkie your friend.
Okay.
We do Zoom links, and even when I asked him, like, don't you want to, like, do you ever think you want to go back to school? Do you miss people, this and that? And he's like, no, I think I'm good. And he was like, do you know what? And I was like, what? He's like, the kids that went back to school, they only get 20 minutes for lunch.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, dude, that's all you were getting was 20 minutes for lunch. You forgot. So now, because he's a digital learner, lunch is like combined with recess. So it's a whole hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he gets to, you know, play Roblox, check in with friends on chat or Zoom, eat the food that is, you know, dad prepares for him, and maybe take a walk outside and play. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I want to go back to school. They only get 20 minutes.
He's still thinking about the recess time. When can I be free? I just need freedom.
And so I think maybe he doesn't really complain too much. Or is that because he finds like the silver lining? Like, well, now, you know, school ends, it really ends when it ends. I don't have to wait another 45 minutes for buses to come.
Yes.
You know, I don't have to, like, when the teacher logs off, that's it. Like, I have freedom to
go. Yes.
Yeah. So he's chill. He's chill with it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. But what about back to school for you? Like, how has COVID affected the way you feel about what you do, and how has it changed what you do?
So I still love teaching.
God bless you.
Yeah. So I have, you know, I've had to have that heart to heart with myself. Do you even still love this profession? Do you even still love what you're doing? Are you getting anything out of what you're doing? And when I do like my come to Jesus with myself, the answer is still yes. I still am getting something out of it. So, you know, that's a plus. And, and so it's changed, right? So in the very beginning, when we were all, you know, had to come back to school, because all the teachers report, and they had given us, you know, masks and shields and gloves and all of the above. I would walk into school, you know, avoiding the masses. So that means you come in early.
Mm-hmm.
That means you take the stairs. That means you go in your room and you close the door, and you're wearing all the stuff that they gave you.
And so it still is that way for me also. So I'll take the road less traveled. So if everyone wants to come in, school starts at 7:30 and everybody wants to roll in at 7:30 and get on the elevator together at 7:30. Yeah, I'm not.
I just hear the theme to the Jeffersons in my head. Will, moving on up. They're just getting on the elevator. Going on up, yeah. Huh?
Not moving on up. I really, you know, little small talk and bantering is totally 6 feet away. It's like from the hall. You'll see somebody in there, you wave and you'll keep it moving, taking the road less traveled. So you're not bringing anything and not carrying anything.
Yeah.
But I teach total digital. And so all of my students now, I'm hearing that it's like 40, are live from home. And I'm in a room by myself teaching. So I am thankful for that. And I'm trying to get students and parents to realize, like, yeah, you can do this. You can be a digital learner. And you can stay safe in your home. And you can learn from anywhere. So the quicker that they can grasp that concept, I can learn from anywhere. I do not have to be in the teacher's face to learn how to read or to learn how to do math problems and equations. The quicker they can get a hold of that, the better they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had a lot of students that have returned to in-person for a lot of reasons. Jobs not allowing parents to stay home, income lacking, or otherwise they'll see that their child is, going in the opposite direction socially or emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel like their child maybe is not receiving some accommodations or some services that maybe if they were in person, they would receive. So we've had a lot of students return. But for those that are digital, we're hanging tough.
That's amazing. So were teachers given the choice of whether they wanted to be digital teachers or in-person teachers, or were those assignments just duties as assigned?
So there was a lot of, surveys and questionnaires like given to teachers, and you just had to mark like you want to be digital or you want to be in person. And I'm sure from what I'm hearing is like 75% of the teachers, wanted to be all digital.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe when it came down to it, it might have been an administration's choice, or they might know maybe something of the family dynamics, and they, assigned who was going to be in person and who was going to be digital. And so, so I'm kind of thankful that those cards kind of work in my favor. And so I give it all I got. I mean, we're halfway there. It's December almost, right?
You believe it? Seriously.
I'm so excited about that. And, we've been told pretty much like look for the next school term to be digital as well, to start off, digital and to continue maybe being where a lot of students are digital. And so that's the case. Let the ball keep rolling. And one cool thing is in the last, I guess like a week or so, they gave a stipend to teachers for their hard work. So a nice $700 will be coming our way. And of course you can't put a dollar amount, right?
No, you really can't. You have done more than $700 worth of hard work. Right. I can tell you that now. But I can also tell you that the teachers in Florida have gotten nothing.
Well, listen.
Really, I was already a teacher who was struggling with burnout last year because I had too many duties. I did. And so I don't know, we were given those surveys as well. But our surveys at the end of the day, they said, okay, here's everybody's digital stuff so that you can all teach digital and in-person students. You have no choice. It's a hybrid. And so imagine how the digital students get lost in favor of the in-person students. And especially in high school, when those kids have the option to turn off their camera and turn off their mic. And I'm like, hey, Matthew, are you there? Are you there? Oh, let me type you a little message. And it got to the point where if I'm going to do like any sort of small group with you, I need you to have your camera on. I am not talking out into the void for just no one. And then, you know, every once in a while you hear somebody go, oh, is that your teacher? Oh, my God. I'm like, could you please put the camera back? What's happening? What is happening?
Yeah, so. You know, that adds a lot of laughter, and so hopefully this podcast brings a lot of joy.
And so, I'm just like, processing.
Yeah, so my son is just like, oh, you're a ghost teacher? You're a ghost demon? I'm like, yeah, students be ghosting me. Like, it's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
You turn that camera off, and you go on mute, you are now a ghost.
That is teaching all the ghosties. I really... And my favorite, I think my very favorite is, you know, these parent teacher conferences where, you know, you have got six teachers sitting there going, I don't know your child because I don't know what they look like because they've never turned on their camera or interacted with me in any way. And that's where the breakdown is happening, where the kids are deciding, you know what, for whatever reason, you know, I haven't gotten to where I need to be in Maslow's hierarchy to where education is a priority for me right now. So ma'am, I'm going to turn this off. And, you know, I've got access to everything else in the world because you're just a part of the internet right now.
Right. Right. And not the best part, might I
add. No, heck no. You are the part that I probably should ignore today. See what's going on, and I don't even know where the children go when they get on the internet, but I know it's a lot of YouTube and things,
sure,
and
TikTok.
I was gonna say, and shiny things like TikTok, and yeah. So that's, and you know, the brain science behind the stuff on the internet, it's so addictive. Mm-hmm. It is so addictive. It was designed to make your brain crave it. Yeah. So you take these phones away from kids, and it's like, I'm talking, parents have been telling me like, oh, I tried to take that phone away from her and she got the shakes. Yeah. And she acted so crazy. I gave it back and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So we need to parent our children now so that by the time they get to be teenagers, they'll be able to control themselves when we go, yeah, no, no to that technology. Listen, I had to take the iPad away just recently. Like, I had to take it away as like a matter of course, because we were getting up in the morning, like the iPad was a privilege and I just get to lay in the hammock in my room and just watch other children play. And we're going to open up toys and look at them. And we're going to, I'm like, what in the actual, what? No, no, ma'am. And I took it away. I was like, oh. Oh, we had to have debates and I had to explain and mm-hmm. she didn't understand. Mm-hmm. But
because their life is worth living too. So it's great. Like, it's great that you're watching, you know, whoever, Willy's World, and he's opening up all the toys that, you know, all these toy companies have sent to him because he has 10,000 subscribers. But what about your life?
Yes.
Your life is worth living also. And the more that you're watching Willy's World, the more you are removed from your life.
There you go.
Reality, from your memories, from your experiences. So yeah, I am total in support of, you know, taking away devices when needed.
Oh.
And we're going to end it right here. And now we're going to enjoy our lives. And I'm going to show you, I can record too. I can do just like Willy's World. I can take pictures of you doing tricks on your bike and pulling out all those toys that you should have pulled out long ago, charge them up, your race cars. We can do race car tricks too. You can create and you can do things also, but it does not happen if you're hanging out, well, this is totally awesome that she has a hammock. So you're hanging out in your hammock, but you have a life too. And so stop it.
Like, seriously, we went for bike rides down by the river. She got the swing and the swings and look at the birds. And she goes, you know, I was really worried when you guys said no more devices, but this is nice. I was like, okay, good.
Yeah, because this is life and it's worth living. You know, our communication in our crazy family is still worth having.
Oh, Lord.
I need to hear your voice sometimes. And I'm in full and total support. Like, sometimes I'll go in and I'm like waking up in the morning looking at a child like, have you been to sleep? I know it's fall break, but have you been to sleep? Oh, you haven't. Oh, okay. So you're pulling doubles and triples. Okay, turn it off. And they're so exhausted, but God, I don't know what science is behind Roblox. I'm like, dude, who's even on there with you? Nobody, just me, because everyone's gone to bed. Well, dude, that was an indication that it was probably time for you to end that too. So surprise is in the morning when you wake up and your kid is still on technology. You're like, okay, who authorized this?
Well, no one said it was unauthorized. I looked at you and you had that tired look in your eye. So I whispered goodnight. And I went to my room and
right,
I had the time.
My kid put me to bed. Mom, you're tired? Just a little. Okay, goodnight. And then the next morning when you're all refreshed and you get a surprise and they're still sitting at the table. What? What kind of parenting is this? I fire myself.
We're all doing the very best that we can as long as we're all striving to improve.
Yeah, so it's fall break, so hopefully, you know, we can undo some of that like quick, because tomorrow you're back to school. So
yeah,
and I'm going to rehire myself as a full-time parent, and that's not happening. When I say goodnight, that also means you say goodnight.
Goodnight, mother. And all right, this is our last segment of today. I've got to say, I've had so much fun hanging out with you. I'm that's the reason I love the podcast. It really is an excuse for me to just catch up with my people.
Well, I'm so excited that you even, you know, considered me or thought about me. And you're right, because typically I would never have this time with you. And I get to meet. Like, yes, this is great. This is great. Thank you, friend.
No, thank you. So I want to talk about parenting. I was going to do the career thing, but I really want to talk about parenting because here at the same point with 9-year-olds and Lord, for a time I was like, I have failed.
Stop it.
See, you've already raised your first one and you're on your second one. So you know that you, like Gloria Gaynor, have and will survive. I, on the other hand, am sitting on this side of 9 years old going, oh my God.
You got this, girl. You got this. Don't ever doubt. Hello.
Hang on.
No, there's a reason that you're the mother, right? And they are not.
You know,
and that's it. Alone, right, gives me ammunition. There's a reason why you're not the parent, and yet I am. And so,
you speak with that authority, though.
You got to tell it to yourself in the mirror. You got to own it.
I was raised in such a household, like I was an equal by the time I was 9.
Oof, yeah.
I was balancing the checkbook and stuff. So
I love it.
No, that's not good. any fourth grader that comes to you is like, I paid the bills this month. You need to call defects right then.
No. Listen, Mother Margaret had a plan, honey. And look at her plan being fulfilled. You have been independent. And she was teaching you all the right lessons, honey.
Oh Lord, I think I learned them too well. I don't know. I'm working on it though. So meanwhile, I'm looking at this 9-year-old going, tell me more about your fear. No, honey. I got a book. My therapist recommended it. It was called When Love Is Not Enough. This woman was like, you will not let your children teach you this way. You will not. I was like, oh, is this too harsh? Oh my. But you know what it was? It was setting boundaries with kids.
Sure.
And the main crux of it is set firm boundaries with your kids and they'll feel safe. Yeah. You know, if in your relationship with your kid, they're having to negotiate with you and talk you down and think that's
no.
You know, so yeah, I looked at the book, I was like, okay. But some of her methods were so easy and they worked so well. It was fascinating to watch. Like my child, her thing was like whining and complaining and moaning and being miserable. Mm-hmm. And the lady was like, if a child is whining, then they must be tired or sick. If they're sick or tired, they need to go straight to bed. Give them homemade chicken soup. And she was so confused the first time. She was just going to be miserable on a Sunday. I was like, oh, poor, come on and get in bed. I made homemade chicken soup from soup. From chicken thighs, honey. I boiled that. Best soup she'd ever had. But she'd stayed in bed all day and was so confused. Like, what? How did I just? But and so the next time I was like, oh my God, she doesn't feel good. She just goes, oh no, I don't feel laying down bad. As a matter of fact, let me clear my throat to make sure that you understand. I feel strong.
Right. That's right. That's right. I love it.
Right. I was like, oh my goodness. So they didn't make any parenting manuals, but they've got some theories that you can look at and go, what do I think of that? How does that work for me? I don't know.
Right.
So that's so,
you know, I love what you're saying. And so I think about it. So I've been a parent now for 23 years, not including 9 months, you know, prior to the 23.
God bless. God bless.
So I've been thinking about that. Like, so the majority of my life now, I've been a parent. And it's a fabulous, fabulous trip. I will not take it for granted. And so there are just, you know, things, but there should be no, like, you know, moaning and complaining. I mean, seriously, when a child has been given more than enough, and that's probably half of the battle. I've given to you the best that I've had, even when I've had to sacrifice, and you don't need to know that part, but I have sacrificed. You know, then the moaning and the complaining and you know, the lack of obedience and tolerance for parents making mistakes, like that needs to not be happening, because we're a loving unit. And, you know, the more that you can find gratitude and joy in your life, the more you can bring to this family. But the more that you're going to be negative Nelly, you're going to not go with the culture of this house. You're going to test it. You know, we need to save that for teenage years. Okay. When it comes now, but at nine, no, Nelly, that's not happening. Like
you said, the culture of this house, like you sat down with a performance review.
This house, right? We have a mission and a vision statement, and in our house we do. And so I tell people, like, get a mission and a vision statement for your house. Decide what the culture is for your home, what type of house it's going to be. It's not going to be your friend's house, right? Because our house is different, but right. One thing my grandmother always said, and I always talked about this, love Mother Seabrook, is that she could grow us, and this was her excuse, I guess, to spoil us, my sister and I, so we could be spoiled, because that meant that she was going to spoil us. And my mother really had little to say about it. But you could be spoiled as long as you were a good spoiled.
Okay.
And so she defined to us what good spoiled means. Like, you're not selfish. You know, you're giving, you're concerned about other people in the house or outside of the house. Sometimes, you know, above your own, above your own self, you know, you're centered. And so we were spoiled, but we were a good spoiled. And so for our kids, I think they will be spoiled. They're already spoiled. So there's no turning back on that part. but we're looking that they have a light in their soul.
Okay.
And so they need to be shining that light that's in their soul. We need to see that light in the house, first of all, because that's your first priority. My grandmother always said too, like, there's no one else more important in life than the people right here in this house. And so that light needs to be shining in the house. Right. And then it can illuminate to other people where I can see that light, where you're with your friends or you're with, you know, Girl Scout, Boy Scouts, or you're with, you know, soccer or whatever. But man, you got to turn that light on. It needs to be shining because, like I said, most of our kids, they are spoiled. There's no there's no turning back now for whatever reason. they're spoiled, but we need to see that light. And, yeah. And the things that I'm asking you to do and the pitching in that you're doing does not compare to what our forefathers pitching in looked like. So I need you to get it together and take out the trash.
Take out the trash.
And wash a dish. And, you know, I mean, come on, man. I'm not really a big stickler on making beds because, yeah, you got to jump back in that bed later. But I need to see that there's a light in your soul. And if it's not, if there's no light, then I'm doing something wrong as a parent. And I need to reset you so that that light in your soul is shining bright.
Ooh, I know how they used to polish the light in my soul. God,
right. Look at you. You're still trimmed and burning bright. See? They had a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You are too funny. But yeah, I mean, seriously, that you give me hope because, like, sure. I said, 9 years old, I said, ooh, Lord. And, you know, not to say that this child hasn't been through some things and you know, like hurricanes and then grandparents living with us. It was so funny. We were watching videos. Like, I don't know where all of your childhood videos are, but mine are like scattered everywhere. She's got some on Facebook. She's got some on a broken phone. She's got some on the cloud. And so, you know, just run across the video. It's like, oh yeah, look at this. And I remember it was her uncle's birthday and we were singing happy birthday to him. No, it was Christmas. And she had just gotten a present and opened it. And we were like, say thank you to your uncle. And she fell on the floor like we had said we were taking it away from her. And I was like, look at you. Look at yourself. This is what happens when grandparents are allowed to run amok with grandchildren. And they were living like this was free will society. And we just do whatever we want. We ride up and down the road and eat fried shrimp, don't we? Listen, let me tell you something. They love her. They really do. They have spoiled her. And I've had to put some boundaries in place, which has been painful for all of us. But dang it.
But
here we are.
But we have to have that light in her soul must be bright, right?
You gotta trim her wick so that her light may shine.
Exactly. And it is the same, you know, it's the same at our house. Like, okay, so like you've got 3 seconds, like when you're given something, you've got 3 seconds to say thank you. And man, you better own it. Like, I need to, hey, there's child actors out here, and if you have to be one of them, let's see.
Show your appreciation.
Right. So I come in, you know, it's COVID, and I've decided that while I'm shopping to get essentials, that I throw you in a Hot Wheels that's 94 cents. And I come home and I'm unpacking all the stuff, essentials, and I toss you, you know, one of the latest and greatest, you know, Hot Wheels. Hey, guess what? I need that. Thank you. And man, I want you to put it on, like, seriously. But we're hoping, you know, it's not a show, and that you really are thankful, and we want our kids to be thankful and appreciative and just show all that gratitude. And so we got to make sure that light is turned on. And I know that that's happening in your house. And I know that that's happening in my house. and we'll keep working on it until it's refined.
Hey, I'm learning every day. Like I said, yeah. Every day is a new and wondrous adventure. Man, this has been good. I have enjoyed this so much. You got to come back and do this again.
Definitely.
I'm going to get better about scheduling my interviews, because, you know, I want to live by a schedule. This is how bad I want to live by a schedule. I've got a planner. I've got a digital camera calendar. I've got a journal. I'm like, I'm going to write all this down. And then stuff just happens. I'd be like, I'm going to put it on the
so I was just like, I'll just keep asking what time. I knew it was coming, and it has been the perfect day and the perfect timing, and it's been the perfect conversation.
It has.
Yes.
So I'm gonna put you down for like 30 days from today. It's going to be on the calendar, just like on the calendar, and then perfect. We'll see what happens.
It's going to work out, because we're manifesting that in 30 days, we'll get back on this. We'll get our tea, maybe, you know, whatever, Gatorade, mimosa, whatever. And we're going to do
that. I got to send you some of this coffee. It's Fair Trade Coffee. It's a Black-owned business here in St. Augustine. It's called the Growers Alliance. These people came from Africa. They came from, and they are not sponsoring this podcast in any way, let me tell you.
Not yet.
They came from a coffee-growing village in Africa to the United States. And they got here and they were like, people pay $4 for a latte. You gotta be kidding me.
Wow.
And just the amount of money that was going into coffee that was not coming back to the villages. So they've got Kenyan, and I can't even remember, because Kenyan is what I get. They've got Kenyan coffee that comes straight from Kenya, and it goes right back to the village, the money does. And they're helping the people there build their businesses. And if you return the coffee bags to them, they give you 20% off. You can order online. The Growers Alliance. So I'm drinking Kenyan Growers Alliance coffee today with nut pods, sugar-free, everything free, peppermint and chocolate coffee creamer. It's pretty good. And I've got my water. I'm like 48 ounces in to my 99 for this last 90 days. What are you drinking today?
Woof. Well, definitely I need to get some of that. I'm not really a coffee drinker, but just because of the backstory, I will have to have some of that coffee now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So besides that, you know, I'm drinking tea, drinking Powerade. I'm going to catch you up on some water.
Yes.
I've got some traveling to do. I'm actually in South Carolina, so I got to travel back to Georgia.
Ooh,
so I'm not going to get my water intake until I get home.
No, I get it. Listen.
But I'm so proud of you for your water encouragement, your water journey. I mean, you're going to be high school hot.
Listen, I'm going to have to send you a video. It was so funny because I do work in a high school, and I was walking with one of the teachers, and I said hello to some of my colleagues. And I'm like, I don't congregate. Like, you're not going to see me. You're going to see me come in. You're going to see me leave. You're going to see me go in and co-teach. You're going to see me keep my distance. And people, I haven't seen you all year. No, you haven't. Listen, because I'm trying to stay away from old boy.
Exactly.
And he is out there. So.
I need to be seen and unseen at the same time. Right.
Seldom seen and soon forgotten. That is just fine. So, you know, I sneak up on people because, God, you haven't had a look at me. You haven't had a good look at me since March of last year because of COVID. And so I'm 70 pounds down. And I know, right? I'm 70 pounds down and drinking 99 ounces of water a day. So I'm glowing a little bit. One of the teachers went, "Oh my God, I thought you were a student." Oh,
yes. Oh my.
So we can turn back the hands of time. We can reverse this aging. I was determined to do it. I was like, we are 42 years old. I can't be, no.
Girl, I'm so proud of you. I mean, every picture that you send me, I'm like, my God. I mean, you have like this totally caramelized skin and this slender face. I'm loving the hair, the yoga poses. Like, this does not happen by chance. Like, you got to put in work to get something out of it. So I'm going to tell like every super teacher out there that's teaching during COVID, like, take care of yourself. You do that's the first not thing. Want to look at yourself 2 years or 1 year down the line and then be like, COVID took me out. Like, I look 50 years older. No, you need to have that eucalyptus lotion at your desk. You need to take hot baths. You know, you need to moisturize your skin under that mask, put on lip gloss, drink water, take mask breaks. Walk around the desk breaks, turn the cameras off, send every student to the restroom for 5 minutes and come back. Man, self-care as a teacher, like, it has to be, drop that weight, get that weight, stay away from the cafeteria and bring your food in. Yeah, turn it back, because otherwise you're going to look like you haven't turned it back.
I mean, seriously, and duty-free lunch. We are entitled to a duty-free lunch. Duty-free. That is not your boss hanging over you. That is not you grading papers, answering emails. I keep telling everybody, I'll go to your door one time and be like, you should go outside.
Yes.
And if you people will spend 30 minutes arguing with me. I can't. Okay. I get out, get some sunshine, get some fresh air, take that mask off, and get away from people. Exactly. And I just go for a little walk.
That's right.
Just, you know, seriously, get in your body. Like, how often during the day do you kind of check in with yourself and go, oh my goodness, I was on autopilot. I didn't realize what I was doing. And if you are there, then that means you need to start meditating. Mm-hmm. If you picked up your yoga and you're on autopilot, then now it's time for meditation. So
yeah,
the mandate for the teachers and everyone really at this point is self-care. Mm-hmm. Be kind to yourself.
For sure.
Be kind to yourself. And if we could just be kind to ourselves and one person that we love in this next 30 days, then, you know, if we can practice that kindness consistently, sure, the difference would be exponential. So hydration, self-care, kindness.
I love it. 1, 2, 3. Simple, yes. Easy.
Yes. Yes. So 30 days from now, you and me back in the she shed. Yes. And maybe we'll figure out how we can like do a video chat while we do this too. I think that would be fun.
That will be fun because I have so many marvelous things to show you in the she shed, and Barbie collection is exploding. And so, goodness,
yeah.
The Kamala Harris book I've just read. Yeah, there's a lot of things we got to catch back up.
30 days. Yes. So 30 days, and I'm going to figure out the video. So I love you.
We're
going to talk soon. We're together apart all the time. We're apart together. We're alone together. Like,
me and I'm alone. But apart,
you know it. So, you know, ain't no ocean, ain't no sea.
Never, never. We're never apart.
That's right. So I'll be in touch with you daily, as you know, and absolutely, we'll be back in the She Shed in 30 days. And so I'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody. All right. Text a teacher. Tell them you love them. They're doing good work. Love you, girl.
Love you. Bye.